News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are we on the radio again? Son of a gun, we're going to do this another hour. And in this hour, we're going to start the show with El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And our topic today is about the Mexican Revolution, spies, and strawberry sodas.
Intrigue and a strawberry soda. The Emporium Bar on South El Paso Street was the place for spies and revolutionaries planning many of the intrigues of the Mexican Revolution to meet and conspire. Pancho Villa was the most popular of patrons. Though Villa abstained from alcohol, he would always order up his favorite at the Emporium, a strawberry soda. One day in 1913, while enjoying his soda, Villa is approached by German Colonel Maximilian Kloss, offering support for the revolutionary cause in an exchange for the right to establish German submarine bases off the coast of Mexico. But nothing ever came of the offer. This was typical of the dealings that took place in the Casablanca-like atmosphere of the Emporium Bar during the Mexican Revolution. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
And there you are, Melissa Sargent.
Yeah.
You do this every week.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting on this one. I kind of compared it to the Casablanca, Rick's Cafe from the World War II movie Casablanca, because that's what they were doing in that cafe, and we're doing the same thing right here, but it was an ice cream parlor, totally different.
Oh, yeah, but Pancho Villa, thank God he didn't drink alcohol. Oh, can you imagine what kind of revolution that would have been? Whew. Anyway, but you...
Yeah, but...
Go ahead. But
I wanted to also mention, we have to thank partners in history. They're all over the place. The Historical Commission, we got the Society, but we also have to thank the ones here for the show, and that's the El Paso History Alliance on Facebook. They have over 63,000 followers that visit their Facebook page to see historic pictures, historical information, and history preservations. Administrators are Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And one of the premier Facebook pages is Remember in El Paso When, admitted by Barbara Given Bainey, who has done a great job with this Facebook page where they have an amazing amount of photos, historic pictures, stories, and much more. And they have way over 35,000 followers. That's incredible.
A lot of people there. And also, Barbara Given Bainey is the chief admin, otherwise known as BGB. And she's BGB. Got Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louis, Ken Weiss, and Craig Hayes helping her out there. Good page there. All right, shall we move on to the next event here? In the hour two, the idea I had, who knows if it's going to be workable, but the idea, hour one was the Historical Society. Hour two is the Historical Commission. And whatever you're doing, making a lot of noise there. But here's the thing. The Historical Society, no, don't keep doing that. We know how to cut you people off. But the thing is, the Historical Commission is an interesting thing to behold. And we have our guest here, Barbara Welch. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're good, thank you. Welcome.
Hi, Barb.
And guess who else is here? Shelley Sutherland. Yay.
Hey, Shelley.
Say something,
come on Shelley.
Back.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
We need that mic up there, Andrew. Good morning. Try that again.
Good morning, everybody. This is a new role for Shelley
Sutherland. It is. And why we don't have that microphone, I don't know. Where'd it go, Andrew? Okay, we'll find you a mic here in a minute. But the thing about the idea is to talk about the Historical Commission in this hour. And let's start with Barbara. What is the Historical Commission? When did it happen?
Okay, well, the Historical Commission is actually part of the Texas Historical Commission. In 1987, the Texas legislature actually passed legislation that enabled county historical commissions throughout the state. And, of course, we're one of those.
87. Okay.
1987, correct.
That's fairly recent in the scheme of El Paso history.
Well, yes, is indeed. But you know what? I don't think they had all of this electronic communication like 200 years ago.
So. No, but the thing is, the society started in 54.
Okay.
Because somebody got a bright idea to tell the Chamber of Commerce to go do that, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nonprofit 501c3. They sit in Sunset Heights at a famous house called the Burgess House.
The Burgess House, yes.
Burgess Perrineau, the crowd lived there, and she donated it to the society. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing about the... there you go, that one's on. The whole thing about the society, they're a nonprofit, mm-hmm. and they have that building there as one of the main things they take care of.
Mm-hmm.
But as a commission, we got you now, Shelley, but as a commission, that's a state-mandated non-corporation.
Mm-hmm. And just talking about, when you're talking about the year that things were started, I mean, that's the difference between public and private. Public has a tendency to lumber along much later, as we all know.
Ah, yes.
You know, the way... politics and everything. These are slower than private initiative.
But
once they are going, I mean, like you said, it is a state mandate for counties. Counties can, you know, each county, depending on its size, can really decide what their overall goals are going to be.
Well, where's the money come from that you guys spend?
Each county.
The county.
The county actually funds it.
And you can apply for grants and that kind of thing, too.
Yes, okay. So we annually we apply for a budget through the county in the normal budgeting process of our county. That will be tied into different projects we have for the upcoming year. And then, of course, if standalone projects come up, we can additionally apply both for county funding and for certain grants.
Let's re-welcome Shelley now that her mic is working. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome here.
I'm very
good morning, Shelley.
Let's talk right into the gizmo here. Normally, Shelley's on the other side of the glass. She's call screener here for years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sort of taken up all that space with equipment. And we don't take the calls like we used to. We did trivia twice a show.
That was fun.
You enjoyed that?
I loved it.
Oh, well, we had so many people say get rid of it because it's not always relevant to the main topic. We have pluses and minuses. But
sometimes there were really funny answers.
Oh, there were crazy answers. Oh, we have insane stuff here. That's why we have a dump button in case it gets too crazy. But so, Shelley, it's been a while. How you been?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad that we can come out and have a little freedom now. The CDC said we could, if you've had your shots.
They can say whatever they want. I'm going to do whatever I want, honest with you.
Well, everybody should be able to do what they want.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been that way.
But El Paso's holding off on it. They still want everybody to be wearing their masks.
And I think we should. I'm just saying that we're making a little progress in a positive direction.
I'm not going to wear a mask on the radio. Well, corner, stupid. But anyway, enough of that. Okay, but the whole thing about Shelley, you're part of this commission. You've been there for quite a while in the Historical Commission.
I think I've had 3 terms.
So that's what, 6 years?
6 years.
So you've been there, but you were there in the earlier days, weren't you? Or that was mostly society.
But the 1857.
No, no.
She was 1858, so 1858. Don't insult the woman.
But the point is, you were with the Historical Society for many years, like was. And then that sort of like went its own way. And so now you're with the commission. How do you see the difference between those two?
The county funding the commission for specific traditional ongoing programs allows us to be more consistent and plan and improve things. And I think nonprofits have a harder time getting funding. They have to depend on grants and membership dues. So their programs are sometimes more difficult to put on.
Either group can be joined, though. I mean, you can join the Historical Society as a member. And you go to their website, elpasohistory.com, or the Historical Commission, you can apply to be a member, right? How does that work?
Basically, it's a 2-year stint. So every 2 years, they open up an application. The county opens up an application. And anyone is actually encouraged to apply that has an interest in history. And at that point, it goes... All of the different candidates for the commission are actually interviewed by commissioner's court.
But you apply through your commissioner of your district?
Yes. Well, it's an open application.
Oh, okay.
But the commissioner of your district indeed kind of, is the head interviewer, but you still get interviewed by the entire court.
Okay.
So
they want people interested in history, I take it.
Yes.
Mainly.
Well, yes. And I want to point out that part of the mandate from the legislature
Go ahead, Melissa.
Well, I was just going to say, if people are interested in finding out more about possibly joining the commission, what is the first step?
Go to the county website, and I will be honest, it's a little bit difficult to, or actually just Google El Paso County Historical Commission is probably the way
to
get into
the
county. Yes.
Okay.
And then all of the information is basically going to be housed there. Okay. And one of our things right now is we're working on a much simpler interface for our particular commission.
Good idea.
Well, the term for this term started in January. And goes for 2 years. So you can't apply to be a commissioner for a while. But we have 8 committees and often establish a special committee for a special project. And we can, anybody that wants to, for any reason, can join the committees. And that's a step up towards becoming a commissioner.
Mm-hmm. And you have regular meetings of these committees and you discuss
stuff? Yes.
I know you have a markers committee.
Yes.
I know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because historic markers is part of the mandate from the state.
Correct.
But what other committees do you have?
We have cemeteries.
Oh.
We have architectural preservation. We have outreach and education. We have, I'm going to blank right now.
Archaeology.
How could I forget archaeology? One of our most important ones.
But you cover history in certain directions, and that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you? These guys wrote a book in Hour One. Historical mm-hmm. Society created a book that they're selling. Do you do anything, stuff like that?
Not really, although our members do write articles in journals, etc. But what I was going to say about the mandate from the state of Texas was to promote, preserve, and protect historical and cultural entities throughout each county. So we are mandated to actually look at things like not just buildings, but like the National Historic Register District, which, by the way, the vote in front of the THC for Segundo Barrio was this morning.
Okay, Texas Historical Commission took a vote, and they're kind of like your godfather.
Yes, they are our benevolent overlords.
Aha! That's a good way to put it. So you got the Texas Historical Commission run in Austin. You can be members, I guess, from any part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys get together, the men and women get together and vote on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're talking, explain that. The Segundo Barrio is actually South El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Yes. So basically, the Economic Development Department here at the county, in conjunction with our commission, put forth 2 districts, actually, for National Historic Register nomination. Those, if they are established, they go to the National Park Service to be established. And if indeed they are approved by the National Park Service, they become National Historic Registered Districts, which means they're on national maps, the Park Service. I mean, it's an honor. It actually is something that anyone, you know, throughout the world can find, because these districts are sought out by tourists, etc. It also enables anyone within those districts to take advantage of enormous economic advantages.
If they're going to renovate a building, they get a huge tax credit.
A huge tax credit.
We're talking,
yes,
45%.
Yes, exactly.
And so that's worth doing.
Mm-hmm. And so this morning, of course, one of the people that spoke was the rector of Sacred Heart Church, which is, you know, it's the heart of Segundo. I mean, it's the absolute soul there. And and Max Grossman also spoke, and some other speakers. And I mean, I am so happy the THC approved it unanimously.
So what's the official level now?
We'll go to the Park Service.
And then they say yes, and then what happens?
We get a historic district.
Excellent.
And
so you're talking about the building. You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of buildings.
Yes. It would, if it is approved, it will add just under 700 new properties that will be able to take advantage of those tax credits. Right now within that district that we've outlined, there's one. So we'll go from one property that can take advantage to, it's like 689 that will be able to take advantage of all of those tax credits, all that cool stuff for renovations, etc.
Does this include everything up to, let's say, the convention center?
No. It's a little bit south of that.
South of Paisano.
Yeah, so it's basically it really is defined by what was called the Second Ward.
Got it.
Traditionally, with the exclusion of Chihuahuita. And there and some other exclusions that are basically because I think the Border Patrol area and some areas that were totally new housing. So certain fringe areas are excluded because they're not historical anymore. You know, they've been entirely raised and rebuilt there.
Are you talking about some of those tenements down there?
Yes.
Some of those are historic.
Well, some are. But then there's yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The old laundry building?
Oh, gosh, that's beautiful. Yes. No, but that is still a historic building. That has not been renovated. It is still in the style in which it was built.
Okay.
But then certain new buildings, we're talking, the range for Segundo is 1874 to 1971.
Okay.
So there are buildings that are much newer than that, and those were excluded.
Interesting. We got to talk more about this because creating those districts is going to put us on a lot of better maps.
Absolutely.
As a city. We'll get to that.
Okay, got it.
More details. Oh, my, this is kind of fun. All right, we got Barbara Welch sitting here along with Shelley Sutherland, El Paso County Historical Commission. We did the society in the first hour. We're doing the commission second hour. And we're seeing some differences here on how each group operates. But they also both start with El Paso County Historical. And that's where the confusion goes. Because one's a society, mm-hmm. nonprofit, and one is a commission, government agency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got that figured out. Let's see what we can do with that. Melissa, you've been looking at people on Facebook. What's going on over there?
I'm bouncing back and forth here trying to update the site. I haven't had a chance to really look at who's on this hour, but I'll get it for next hour.
Oh, there's a lot of things. We stirred up
next break.
Next break. We stirred up a lot of people with those restaurants, and they're going to have to do another book. We uncovered so many restaurants that we're not in the book. Ah, got to fix that. Well, I mean, that the lost restaurants are lost. And like I said earlier, you may have missed this, Shelley. I think there's some current restaurants that should get lost. Because that's just my opinion. Anyway, enough of that. Hey, Andrew, by the way, Andrew J. Polk is sitting there in the control room. He's got his full beard on today like he does Monday through Friday. He does Facebook Live and radio at the same time like we're doing. And he does this Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Take a listen to that stuff. He is in the middle of the political soup. I think that's one polite way to put it. And we stay back on the edge. We're in the historical soup. And if you talk politics here, we get rid of you. But on the other hand, he takes them all on. Andrew, thank you for working our show today. I do appreciate that. Melissa, you doing okay wherever you are?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I wanted to post up the Historical Commission site, so if people did have an interest or wanted to learn more about the El Paso County Historical Commission, they can go there.
By the way, people think you're pretty still when you were on the Facebook page today. You haven't moved a whole lot. You see it there?
That's what happens, you know.
We'll talk about that some other time. Back in a moment. Oh, we'll take a call here. What the heck? What's that number?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
We've got your stimulus right here. And this one isn't on you, the taxpayer.
Awesome.
No way.
Awesome.
Listen for the keyword and enter it into our website for your chance to win $1,000 with the $1,000 stimulus.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? you get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Do not buy a car today. The used vehicle market has been dramatically impacted by the past year's event. The cost of Buick GMC has hundreds of used vehicles priced in pre-pandemic valuations and is offering those vehicles at a tremendous price advantage this Sunday for 10 hours only. Cost of Buick GMC will hold the largest pre-owned sales event of the year.
One owner trade, repossessions, lease returns, insurance recoveries, and even government retired vehicles.
Vehicles for less than $10,000, even less than $3,000.
Clearly more.
Financing available through more than 20 local banks and credit unions. Close Saturday and open this Sunday for 10 hours only. Do not buy a car today.
Few moments bring you joy like opening your inbox after you've done your taxes, clicking the subject line, and reading that one email you've been waiting for. So, what? Someone already filed my return? During tax season, your personal info, like your name or social security number, is all right there on your tax forms, possibly getting emailed and shared more than usual. And that could leave you exposed to identity thieves. Good thing LifeLock monitors your personal info, alerts you to possible suspicious activity, and if you become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock helps you keep what's yours. Join today and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code NEWS. That's promo code NEWS for 25% off at LifeLock.com.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got a lot going on here talking about the Historical Commission. But I need to tell you, it's coming in next week on May 22nd. The National Border Patrol Museum is on Trans Mountain Road in northeast El Paso, the only museum that they have. It's their national museum. And we're going to take a tour of the place and hear about the Border Patrol's century of history in El Paso. They started here, and they're still here. But then they're all over the place. We'll talk to David Hamm. He's the guy that runs the place out there. May 29th, the many U.S. Army forts in West Texas, southern New Mexico, and the military historian John Hamilton is going to tell us those details. Army forts were everywhere. And, hey, Bernie, I think I hear Bernie in the background in there, Melissa. But June the 5th, we got Bernie back. We're talking more about early El Paso history up to 1930. We started from zero to 1930. We didn't get very far. So we're going to pick it up at the Civil War and end up in 1930, we think. I'm not sure how that's going to work. Hey, it may work.
Wander the hills, yeah.
Well, we'll do what we can on that. June the 12th, have you been to War Eagles Air Museum lately? Well, we're going to go on the radio as a tour through here, and we'll hear about the museum's history, how it started as a collection of vintage airplanes in a private collection. Oh, I got a few B-29s and whatever else. We'll just put them in a hangar. Anyway, the new executive director, Mike Ett, E-T-T, be our guest. Also, June 19th, oh, hey, Melissa, you know about this one. Author Harry Herbert von Fielich, otherwise known as just Harry, he's coming in.
That's going to be fun.
He's going to talk about the spy stories from the Mexican Revolution. And if people want to know why we focus on that quite a bit, that's one of the hugest, that's not a real word, but I'm going to use it. That's one of the hugest,
yeah.
It's one of the hugest things that happened here in El Paso history, because the Mexican Revolution was planned and funded in downtown El Paso. And El Paso was like a war zone for years, with correspondents coming and going and spies everywhere. Well, Harry's going to talk about spies, and he found out some new stuff. He found a whole briefcase.
I believe it.
Well, he found a briefcase full of stuff that they had been appropriated from one of the spies and put in the National Archives under secret don't disturb. He found it. It was open by then, and he found out he traced the money.
Wow.
They were paying money between the German government to Pancho Villa, and they helped him fund a Columbus raid. There's a bunch of weird stuff in there. So, and also Florian Waddle, another military historian, will join him on that. So that's what I got there. What do you got?
Well, I just want to tell everybody, first of all, in a region rich in resources, unique geography, warm weather, and even warmer people, Castor Range stands out, and it needs to be protected forever. The Frontera Land Alliance, the Franklin Mountains Wilderness Coalition, and the El Paso Community Foundation are working hard to get this designated. It's a picture of 7,081-acre range, and they want to make it a national monument, which would be fantastic. I like Castner Range. I think that sounds pretty cool. But they need the community's help, and you want to give Frontera Land Alliance a call, and they can direct you on how you can help the best at 915-351-8352. Or you can go to visitcastnerforever.org and sign their letter of support so we can just keep pounding the people in Washington, D.C. to make it a national monument.
That's just one of the many things, another one right there that's unusual and unique about El Paso, because not everybody has a mountain, first of all, in the middle of the city, and not everybody had the Army fire bullets at it for years. I mean, that's kind of what happened. Can you imagine being a gunnery sergeant and saying, let me see if I could take the top of that peak off, and he just misses. And it goes over and lands in Canyatillo. Don't do that. Can you imagine?
Oops.
That could have been a bad day for everybody. I bet that happened. But back in that day, Canyatillo didn't have many people. And
enough.
I'm going to get off of that stuff. All right, we got the Historical Commission on the brain here. It's time for another break. We'll come back with a longer segment. So get ready. We've got some pictures and stuff to show of things you've been doing. Hear about the preservation crowd. You guys are active. Not just the monuments.
Oh, no. I mean, we do outreach. We have a seminar coming up. We do a lot of work with the cemeteries here in town.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Do you have a monument or a marker for Castner Range?
I am going to say no. I do not think
there
so.
Could
so
be
that
one.
Is one. Yes, absolutely. And it definitely needs to be preserved.
Oh, yeah. We'll see how that goes here. Shelley Sutherland sitting here. Barbara Welch. We'll be back in a minute. And call us if you want to. Melissa, throw that number at somebody.
915-544-5876, 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.elpasohistorytv and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
The Piketon Massacre, a riveting true crime podcast, is back for season 2. In 2016, 8 members of the same family were slain. Today, a local family of 4 await trial for these murders. The podcast examines the details of this horrific case.
They're accused of doing this together. They're accused of trying to cover it up together as a family.
Listen to the Piketon Massacre on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When we bought our house, we loved that it was surrounded by trees. Incredible curb appeal. But every fall, all those leaves, our gutters were a mess. We had overflowing downspouts, water damage. That all went away when we got leaf filter. And what came back? Yeah. Our love for trees.
Leaf Filter is America's number one gutter guard and comes with a lifetime transferable warranty. So schedule your free estimate today. Call 844-300-LEAF. That's 844-300-LEAF. Or visit tryleaffilter.com and keep gutters clean for good.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel.
Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday, practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern, conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
Few moments bring you joy like opening your inbox after you've done your taxes, clicking the subject line, and reading that one email you've been waiting for. So, what? Someone already filed my return? During tax season, your personal info, like your name or social security number, is all right there on your tax forms, possibly getting emailed and shared more than usual. And that could leave you exposed to identity thieves. Good thing LifeLock monitors your personal info, alerts you to possible suspicious activity, and if you become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock helps you keep what's yours. Join today and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code NEWS. That's promo code NEWS for 25% off at LifeLock.com.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready, Melissa, for This Week Only in El Paso, Inc.?
Down in West Texas town of El Paso, a piece of a famed bar's land is under dispute.
Also in the Inc., though El Paso is still far behind other Texas cities, companies have ramped up the rollout of super-fast 5G wireless networks. And that's in the borderland, and that's happened over the past year.
As business recovers and begins hiring again, the CEO of Workforce Solutions, Borderplex, talked to El Paso Inc. about the pandemic recovery, child care, and more.
El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it on ElPasoInc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m., host Soul Signs talks about mask rules nationwide and in El Paso. The CDC announced it's lifting the mask recommendations for people who were fully vaccinated when gathering outdoors or indoors.
But is the mask rule lifted for El Pasoans? Find out Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7 Extra with host Saul Sines.
A walk outside and the mask police will get you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Got to catch me first.
It's a strange, and it's a good thing we don't do current events. I wouldn't last 10 seconds in this arena. But anyway, life goes on. Barbara Welch is here along with Shelley Sutherland. Let's talk about the Historical Commission, and where did you want to go with this? We have your markers and your signboards.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the things we do is memorialize important historical facts about El Paso. One of our most current projects that we've completed was a series of wayside markers that basically have the history of Isleta Mission, of Socorro Mission, and from the Presidio in San Elizario. And so those were just basically set at each of the sites. We did that in conjunction with the Community Foundation and the Diocese of El Paso.
We got one up here that's really detailed. I don't expect you to read the details necessarily on the Facebook page, but you can see that these things are really serious, full of info on site. And I think there's another one with a picture of somebody standing next to it. And we've got several of these. Let's go ahead and go through them. There's one that's at the Isleta Mission, I can tell. Has mm-hmm. two panels. One generic, I think, for Mission Trail.
One is basically the Mission Trail, and then the second one
is that location.
Okay. Correct.
And so you have four of these that we
found. Three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that would be the three churches on mm-hmm. the Mission Trail, not all of which are missions.
That's correct.
Explain that difference, would you?
Well, in San Elizario, it's a Presidio chapel, and I think Shelley can address that a little bit better than I can.
Well, the missions are built in the shape of a cross, like churches. But the Presidio is a different shape. It was a Spanish military fort, and the chapel was built for the soldiers that were stationed there and for the Native Americans or indigenous people that lived there and survived around the Presidio.
Well, the missions were established by the Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did in the Pueblo Revolt, they brought some tribes with them when they ran from the other tribes.
That's correct.
They brought them down here and put them up in fine hotels. No, they didn't.
I don't know if there were any fine hotels.
No hotels. They all showed up at Paso del Norte, which was basically the mission in Juarez. And they had a whole bunch of people, and they said, okay, you look like you're from Isleta with an I up there. Now you're Isleta with a Y here. Take 20 miles, walk that way, and when the priest gets tired, stop, put a church there. That's called, well, that's kind of what happened.
It's a basic framework.
Well, you had the one in Juarez, and then you had San Lorenzo, then there was one Senecu or something mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. and then another, next one, would, and those are coming down mm-hmm. basically inside Mexico today.
Mm-hmm.
But the next one popped the river today mm-hmm. and ended up in Isleta. Another 20 miles was Socorro, and Socorro and Isleta were established within 24 hours of each other, but Isleta always gets the known factor of being first.
Well, 24 hours is 24 hours
it
in is.
History. It was first. And so you have that big marker there, and mm-hmm. you have that big signboard there. And I'm hoping that with the county help, what you guys are doing is helping promote the Mission Trail.
Mm-hmm. That's.
Are you also doing any tours on the? Do you guys get involved in the tours?
Well, the Mission Trail Association is the primary tour provider. They didn't do children's tours, school tours this past year, and they won't start until probably fall. They're hopeful. But they have lots and lots of children's tours.
Mm-hmm.
And they can always use volunteers who are interested in learning the descriptions and appropriate history to help with those children's tours.
They also now have docents at each of those churches. From the Catholic Church.
Right.
Catholic Church,
which
yes.
is
which is a very,
very
good thing.
Because
mm-hmm. they then can help with the details on yeah. site.
And the Mission Trail is working on a program to develop non-student tours. Like a family comes to visit from New York and
right.
they want a tour. They could call Mission Trail Association and schedule something.
Yeah, and one of our committees is actually the Mission Trail Special Committee. It's it is one that was established by Commissioner's Court. And so we have a lot of activity going on in that entire area. And with outreach, we're planning ourselves some a program that will reach out to basically educational and middle school students, that we're developing a program for them also through the commission.
Now, you take that to the schools, or they have to come to the...
We'll take it to the schools.
Okay. That's what's needed. I was on Facebook and telling people, Alborrego, they did a tour,
mm-hmm.
actually a student tour last week, but it wasn't a public school. It was a private school. And I was commenting that the private schools are leading the way in what it takes to get out there and see things. And somebody commented, well, if you got $300 for a bus, I'll take my students out there. And so I found
yeah.
out,
mm-hmm.
Melissa, remember hearing about that?
Yeah, and that's true. We've done tours before at Concordia Cemetery
mm-hmm.
and also Keystone, and these they have to pay for the buses to get them out there, which is really frustrating. I would think they'd have funding for that, but the parents sometimes have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go to the PTA to pay that. And I found out that particular day that they went in the morning to Alborrego's location
mm-hmm.
in Santa Lazario,
mm-hmm.
learned all about that in a bus tour, full big bus. But then that afternoon, the same bus and the same kids went to Concordia. And by about 2 o'clock, they were just dead in their chairs because that had been a long day for those kids.
And hot. I heard about the Concordia part of it. So.
Well, we're trying to make it, you know, the $300 for the bus go a little further. And, it went to sleep on the afternoon. But the point is, that stuff should be done as part of the curriculum. And I if a teacher's listening, call us up because I don't think that it's regular in the school systems yet. I understand they do a little bit of Texas history. And then maybe if there's time, they'll do some local history. Melissa, do you know any different?
No, it's pretty much what it is right now. I mean, they're limited on time and how long they can be out of the classes. And it's a lot of work for these teachers to take these kids out on the trips, unfortunately, that way. But I would hope to see more in the future. But I understand when they do teach the seventh grades, is it fourth and seventh they have to do that?
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That is it. You pegged it.
Yeah, like you said, they have very limited time on what they can give them. I mean, and especially El Paso, we've got so much more history than a lot of other places. It's frustrating that they don't get to hear it.
Well, that's one place it's hard to start. Where do you start in El Paso? Do you start at Keystone, the really old stuff, or where do you go?
I think basically people need to learn about all of the different areas. So one thing that we do also work with through the commission is History Day, which is a national program, and that goes through our outreach committee. And that is a program in conjunction here with UTEP, and that takes middle school and high school students. They come in and they present on topics, and then they can go forward to the state and then to the nationals. But we have done some funding to encourage the different schools that actually coach their students for History Day to pick El Paso topics. And so we funded books about El Paso history to go to all the teachers in the schools that are represented. We fund awards, you know, plaques and things.
It's kind of like the science fair, but it's a history fair.
Yes, exactly. And it is a national. And so our focus, I mean, is just basically to push to have students pick up topics about El Paso, not just Texas topics or broad history topics. And we've been very focused on that for years. I know, Shelley, that you've been very involved.
And you go to UTEP for a day and hang out and help?
Yes. Don't exactly hang out. It's a lot of work.
Oh, I see. All right, we're going to take one more break here and come back and talk about Preservation Day and Preservation Month. All right. Andrew, you ready to hit the button? Back in just a moment.
If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson.
Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone, a new podcast hosted by James Golden, known better as Bo Snerdly, that takes you behind the scenes for a look at the man who changed America as we know it. Coming soon to iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Presented by MyPillow.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Fun fact, pecans are an 8,000-year-old native of North America and have been enjoyed as a snack for centuries. We guess you could say their history is as rich as their flavor. Learn more about their history and health benefits at AmericanPecan.com.
Deep down, you knew it was coming, and you know there's nothing you can do to stop it. And now, it's here.
Tax-mageddon!
Federal debt now exceeds the size of the entire economy, and Congress continues to spend like drunken sailors. Taxes are going up, and your retirement savings are going to be taxed to smithereens. But there's one proven time-tested strategy that lets you legally pay zero taxes on your hard-earned retirement money. And you can learn all about it in a free report from Bank on Yourself. Get it now at LegallyPayZeroTax.com. This strategy also grows your wealth safely and predictably every year, even when the market tanks. And it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Yes, you can protect your money from the next stock market crash and from
Taxmageddon.
To get this free report and save your retirement, visit LegallyPayZeroTax.com today. That's LegallyPayZeroTax.com. LegallyPayZeroTax.com.
Yes, the free iHeart app is radio, but it's also so much more. Because with the iHeart app, you can take your favorite stations, just like this station, anywhere you want, anytime you want. It's a radio that lets you build your own personalized stations with your favorite artists. It's a radio where you can listen to hundreds of thousands of podcasts. And it's a radio with thousands of playlists perfect for any mood, connecting you to the entire universe of audio with one touch. Download the free iHeart app today. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
iHeart Radio.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, there we all are in the picture. I see Shelley. I see Barbara. I see Melissa, and I see myself.
Not moving.
Oh, no, you've been kind of stiff the whole show. But so it goes. How's your knee working, by the way?
It's getting there. It's a little sore, but I shall be up and running within the next day or two. I've just taken so many steps, I'm trying to get ahead of it. So.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, I'm part bionic woman now, so.
Oh, yeah, you're not all there, but you're all there. Oh, hey, a couple of things just to let you know real quick. You celebrate the signing of the Knapp Land Conservation Easement. That's Sunday, May 16th. That sounds like tomorrow, 9 a.m. at the corner of Zircon Drive and Mountain View Drive. It's 9 a.m. They got speakers out there. Representative Molinar, District 4, Anello, District 2, Marilyn Guida, Save Our Sierras, Scott Cutler, Judy Ackerman, A Cast of Thousands, Guided Hikes at 9:30. This is tomorrow morning. And you can get details on this thing, I'm pretty sure, from the Frontera Land Alliance. So, what do you got, Melissa?
Well, speaking of historic places, we'd love to have everybody come out to Keystone Heritage Park and the El Paso Desert Botanical Gardens at 4200 Donovan Drive in El Paso's Upper Valley. It's only $2 admission for adults and $1 for children 12 and under. The flowers are blooming. The trees are all – it's wonderful. It's so pretty right now. And we're also renting it out for special events. We're back doing that because that helps us support this. And so give us a call sometime at 584-0563 or go to our website, KeystoneHeritagePark.com.
That's a bunch of history right there. I mean, that's old stuff under the sand. There's a village. Can you imagine have you ever been to Cahokia in Missouri?
No.
I think that's actually in Illinois, right across the river.
Mm-hmm.
But they have
the mound.
The mound builders.
Oh, yeah.
There's an incredible exhibit. Somebody paid billions and millions, I don't know how much. We need an exhibit like that for Keystone.
Keystone right now, not only is everything blooming, but the wildlife.
Oh, yeah.
There are whole flocks of cormorants flying in.
What are they?
Cormorants, the bird.
Oh.
Yes, there's a flock that's been flying in that goes on for about a month here. We have lots of, the little cottontails are out bouncing around everywhere.
El Paso's got so much going
lovely.
For it. It's amazing. And we'll promote it as best we can. This Barbara Welch talking here, Shelley Sutherland. And we've got a couple of minutes left. One other activity that I think the people should know about, Preservation Month, is something that the Historical Commission has always gotten involved in. What is that?
Well, in 1973, the National Trust for Historic Preservation established a nationwide Preservation Month, and El Paso in 2014 started recognizing a historic district, And between 2014 and 2020, we expanded it to include the entire county and the city, and we added Las Cruces and Juarez to try to make it our area, our community, instead of just local districts. And during the month of May, primarily, we in the past have been able to put on 5 to 30 different individual programs. Each program is sponsored by a nonprofit or a museum or an organization. So we've been pretty successful, but our best plans were for 2020, and the whole thing got canceled.
Yeah.
So now we're looking for individuals from different interested organizations to form a planning committee so we can plan a rock star preservation month for 2021.
And then you're in
22.
And you're underway now getting that cooked up.
Yes. Volunteers could contact us.
It looks like things are opening back up. Again, somebody wants to volunteer for one of these committees, best way is go on the website and find an email, or how does that work?
That is definitely the best way to go. I mean,
Melissa, did you put that website link up?
I put up the link to the page for them to all see so they can go to. And also, from what I remember, can't the person also go to their county commissioner and ask them to be put on a list for the future?
That is correct.
On the
yes.
board?
To at least inform them when things open, et cetera.
And so if somebody wants to get involved in the commission, again, that's an appointment by the commissioners, and you got to go through a review process.
Correct.
And that's once every 2 years. You just got in January, so it'll be 2 years before you can do that again. But people could get on a committee now.
Yes, we have. I mean, there are only 14 commissioners, and there's tons to do. There's 8 committees. So we have a lot of members from the public that, you know, basically join different committees and do a lot of the work.
Well,
we couldn't survive without the public.
Well, if somebody wanted to get involved in a marker or a lot of markers, it could be on the marker committee without being a commissioner.
That's correct.
And just attend those meetings and work on that.
That is correct.
And also, you said archaeology was another one?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mark Howe is part of that, I think.
He has been the chair for years, and he is a Peter Condon. Mark is going back to school, and so Peter Condon is our new chair, although Mark is still on the commission.
There's a lot of good souls in there doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. Melissa, go ahead.
Can you take a real quick second and describe the difference between a Texas state marker, historic marker, and a county historic marker, and also private markers for families or whatever, who would have put one up?
It's basically who funded it, the funding source. So we have the Texas Historical Commission, the THC markers are obviously...
And we're about out of time.
We work a lot on, and even those break down into private markers, individual markers, underrepresented people or ideas, etc. markers. We'll talk about markers another day, but there are lots. There's over 200 already, and we're working on more.
Last thought.
Anybody interested in a private marker or suggestion just needs to let us know, and we'll try to work on it.
Shelley Sutherland, thank you for being here today. Barbara Welch, thank you kindly.
Thank you
Melissa
so much.
Sargent, we'll see you soon in the future. I'm not going to Pepe's today. You're not going to make it either, are you?
No, I'm stuck home.
All right, fair enough. Good luck with all that. Everybody else, thank you, Andrew J. Polk in the control room. Appreciate your help. See y'all next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.